Indeed, Easter is not over yet. And I kind of feel it especially this year as we've been waiting for spring to come, as it's crept in gradually or kind of like in fits and starts. It's kind of the same way that the realization of what the resurrection means creeps on the disciples. It's not all at once, but it's drawn out over weeks. And we have another story of that today. Let's begin with prayer. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a book that Ben and I read together while we were still dating and while we were still in seminary, still trying to imagine what our life together would be like. It's a book called A Severe Mercy. It's the autobiography of a close friend of C.S. Lewis, this guy named Sheldon Van Auken, and it's about he and his wife, Davy. I'm getting over a little bit of a cold, so I hope you can hear me all right. But Ben and I loved the way that they described their ministry together. Van and Davy, they would say their Christianity that they represented was sunny and joyous, with all the room in the world for humor. And yet, at the same time, it was rigorous and glorious. So they laughed and joked and poured the wine, but challenged each other, their minds and souls. And that is part of what really made us think, oh yeah, we'd love to do ministry together. But one of our favorite stories from the book that we still joke about all the time takes place when they're living in Oxford in the 1950s. And Van and Davy have this apartment that they call the studio in the center of Oxford, where Van says that all their friends and acquaintances call on them day and night. People are coming by constantly, sometimes for only a few minutes, sometimes for hours. And Van says this: the studio was central, more or less on the way to anywhere, so the knocker sounded day and night. People were always welcome, except once. We had got up late and were consequently grumpy. The place was a ruin of dirty cups and glasses and books spread out on the floor. Gray light fell upon the room from the skylight. The fire, of course, was cold and dead. Finally, I got it together enough to go down and get some coal and make a fire, and I had just got going well when simultaneously two things happened. Davy plugged in the vacuum cleaner, which blew all the fuses, and the wind veered round and smoke poured into the room. We staggered about in the gloom, treading on coffee cups, carrying pots of water to put out the fire. And at that moment, a cheery tattoo came on the door knocker. Davy and I looked at each other in the smoke with mad red eyes, and in unspoken agreement, did not move. The knock came again. We did not stir. Whoever it was, we never found out, gave up. Heels went away. Probably it was Jesus. If you'll remember back a few weeks to our reading from the second Sunday in Easter, we talked about that evening of the resurrection when Jesus appears to the disciples in the safe house. He didn't use a door knocker. The doors were locked, but he came in anyway. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus appeared again a week later to those same disciples in that same house because he'd missed Thomas. He went back just to see Thomas. So they've all seen him. And some of these guys have seen him twice since the resurrection. And Jesus appears to them here in our reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter for a third time. And the author, for some reason, feels the need to say, none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Well, yeah, of course they know it's the Lord. This is the third time they've seen him since the resurrection. These guys were his best friends for 3 years. They've been with him like every waking moment, and they just saw him twice. So why is this question even in their heads? Why are they not daring to ask, "Who are you?" Don't they know? It kind of reminds me of this common occurrence when you're new in town. You often find yourself in situations where people recognize you, but you don't necessarily remember their name. And you don't dare ask, "Who are you?" Because you know you're supposed to know. And I'm a little bit better at names than Ben, so this happens to Ben a lot, and it happened just the other day. He saw somebody at school pickup. Now, it wasn't anyone from the church, and he knew that, but he knew it was a parent that he had met before at another event, but he didn't know her name. So he comes home, and he says, "Okay, Haley, I ran into this woman. I know you know who she is. She's a parent." And I said, "Okay." And he said, you know, she's got hair and glasses or not. And he says, "I know you know who she is." And I said, "Baby, I have no idea. Probably it was Jesus." But these guys, the disciples, should know it's Jesus. How do they not know? It makes me think of the parable of the sheep and the goats, which appears in one of the other Gospels, Matthew. But in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells this parable in which the nations are separated into two groups, the sheep and the goats. To the goats, the king says, "Depart from me, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not give me clothing. I was sick, and you did not take care of me. I was in prison, and you didn't visit me." And those say, "But Lord, when were you ever hungry, and we gave you no food? When were you thirsty, and we gave you nothing to eat? When did we see you as a stranger or naked? Or when did were you ever sick or in prison, and we didn't visit you?" In other words, Jesus, we certainly never saw you. When we did see those in need, we didn't think to ask, "Who are you?" And the king answers, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do for the least of those members of my family, you did not do for me." And to the sheep, the king says, "Come, you who are blessed, inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, sick, in prison, and you took care of me." And we love to use this passage to condemn, am I right? Some are in, and oh boy, some are out. Get it right, recognize Jesus when you see him, or you're gone. And that has always rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know about you. But here's what I actually think is the hidden blessing in this passage. Here's what I love. Those righteous ones also say, "But Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and took care of you?" In other words, Jesus, we never saw you. When we did see those in need, we did not dare ask, "Who are you?" Because we knew it was the Lord. And of course, the reply from Jesus is, "Whatever you did for the least of these members of my family, you did for me, whether you knew it or not." So here we come to the end of John's gospel, and there's a stranger on the beach. Who is it? The stranger calls out to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you? Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." I imagine them thinking, "Okay, stranger." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in. It was so full of so many fish. And that's when Peter knows. The bounty, the plenty, the abundance, it just reeks of Jesus. He doesn't all of a sudden recognize Jesus' face. He recognizes his love, his fullness. And that is so Jesus in the Gospel of John, right? "I came that you may have life and life to the full." that you may have joy and your joy would be complete. This overabundance that they've seen over and over again in Jesus' ministry. But I guess the others aren't sure. Maybe they're thinking, there goes crazy Peter again, jumping into the water. But whatever the reason, they don't jump in. They drag that net so full of fish to the shore. And now they're face to face with this stranger. And they still aren't sure. And the stranger says, bring me some of the fish you've just caught. Or in other words, share with me. And I wonder if in that moment they remembered the parable. When did you see me hungry? When did we see you as a stranger? And that's when they dare not ask, who are you? Because they know it was the Lord. The good news for me in this passage, Jesus' third appearance to the disciples, is that they know. Though they dare not ask, they just trust that any kind stranger, any child of God looking to share a meal, is Jesus. So when we see the hungry or the thirsty, the sick, the imprisoned, the stranger, we don't have to ask, who are you? Because we can be sure that it's Jesus. About a year ago, Junie and I were out on a date together. Ben and Asher were doing something else, so it was just me and my girl. And our church in Pensacola was downtown. So when we would go to something downtown, we'd often just park at the church and walk down maybe 4 or 5 blocks to whatever we were going to do, go to a restaurant or a show, and then walk back up. This particular evening, we'd parked at the church and walked down, and when the performance was over, we were walking back up the road, hand in hand, and now it was late in the evening. And Junie, for those of you who don't know, at the time she was 3, so she was just about eye level with adults who were sitting on the ground with their cardboard signs. After a long day, settling in for a night of sleeping on the sidewalk. And as we walked, she would look at those we passed at her eye level. And we came upon a couple that we did know by name from our Wednesday night dinners at church, and we stopped and said hello. They said hello to Junie. They played their guitar for her a bit, and she danced before moving on. Still hand in hand, we came upon a stranger there at Junie's eye level that we didn't know by name. So she looks the man full on in the face and says, who are you? Because a 3-year-old will dare ask. And he smiles at her. She smiles back at him. But he doesn't give an answer, as adults tend to do when precocious 3-year-olds dare to ask. So I hurry her along with a tug on the small hand I'm holding. So, of course, she turns the question to me. Mommy, who was that? I don't know, baby, I say. Probably it was Jesus. Amen.